Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest today is Jarrett Stevens. He's the teaching pastor at Prestonwood Baptist Church in Plano, Texas. It's one of the largest and fastest growing megachurches in North America. And he has a wonderful new book called The Mountains Are Calling. And I believe you will find it to be a tremendous encouragement to you in getting to know God better. He uses an interesting series of vignettes from Scripture. The Mountains Are Calling, if you think about the Scriptures and the various encounters that people had with God on mountains, you begin to see the pattern that develops. So, Jarrett, welcome to the broadcast. Thank you so much for being with us.
Jim, thanks so much for having me on. Really look forward to visiting with you and our audience today.
When did you get the idea to write this book?
Well, at first, God put it on my heart about 5 years ago, Jim. I was flying into the mountains of Colorado. I was getting ready to preach at our student camp.
Mm-hmm.
And I write about this in the book, but you know, most of us preachers, when we're going in to speak at a camp or a rally, we don't come up with anything new. We take some old sermons and, you know, freshen up the illustrations, rehash them, and go.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I know, right? It's a little secret there. And that's what I was planning on doing. But as I was flying into the mountains of Colorado, I was just praying about the week. And it's just the Spirit of God would not let me get away with it. It just kept this whole idea of just, man, Jarrett, bring these students something fresh this week. And I think, well, that's a good idea, but I land here in like 20 minutes, you know? And so I grew up in church, Jim, always loved church, and grew up going to summer camp. I trusted Christ as a preteen student at a summer camp, and then in high school. They were formative in my life, and kind of the way we say it, I think all Christians are familiar with that mountaintop experience with the Lord.
Absolutely.
And so I'm flying into the mountains to preach at this camp, and I'm sitting here going, you know, sensing the Spirit of God saying, you know, I want this to be a mountaintop moment for these kids, and that's what camp was for you. And that's when it just kind of hit me. It's just, why don't you look in the Scriptures and talk about the mountaintop moments, what I did on mountains and Scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And when God put that in my heart, I'm telling you, I knew immediately this is one day is going to be my first book project, because I've always wanted to write, but I needed to have something to say, you know.
Yes.
And so that's where it happened. And so I went in that week, and I dealt with, it's a great 4 messages on, I dealt with Abraham and Isaac and Moses and the Law and Elijah on Carmel, and so and then take, of course, into the New Testament. And so that's how it really got planted in my heart.
Amen. Well, I certainly, living in the mountains as I do, have a real appreciation for the imagery that is evoked there. And of course, having been in Israel and planning on going back there before long, I again especially appreciate, as you study the Scriptures and see the geography and the way that God used geography in order to communicate some of his attributes to his people.
Mm-hmm.
So now you talk about Mount Sinai, entering God's presence, Mount Carmel, God's trustworthiness, Mount Desolate. And in the section on Mount Desolate, dealing with intimacy with God, you evoke one of my favorite authors, and that's A.W. Tozer. Tozer had an impact on you, didn't he?
He did. You know, outside of the Scriptures, probably the one person that's had the most profound influence in my life from an author standpoint would be Tozer. I first got a hold of him early on in my ministry, and he's the kind of guy, you know, Jim, I like reading. I love reading books, but the most profound books are those that you read and they make you want to know God more.
Amen.
You want to know God at a greater level.
Yes.
And Tozer's one of those guys for me. When I read him, it makes me want to go get along with the Lord.
Yes.
And so he's just always been that guy for me. And, of course, his Pursuit of God was the first book I ever read from him, and mm-hmm. it was life-changing for me.
Praise God. Well, it is, as he's been one who had a huge impact on my life as well, and that's why I really resonate with that, because he does, as you said, not just make you want to read five more of his books. He makes you want to read the Bible. He makes you want to talk with God.
And that's
what a good book should do. And I think that's why your book is being praised as it is by so many folks, is because you don't just say, you know, and wait till you read the sequel. You keep directing us back to the Lord.
Well, thank you.
You bet. Talk with us a little bit about how we can't, what would you say about the phrase, we can't just live on the mountaintop?
Well, you know, God didn't wire us to live on the mountaintops. And you look at the mountains and Scripture, and eventually you got to come back down.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's interesting, I'd never seen this until I started studying the book, but at the Great Commission, you know, the Bible tells us that Jesus called his disciples to an unnamed mountain in Galilee.
Mm-hmm.
And right there, he gave the Great Commission. And it's just a wonderful illustration and a great picture of saying, hey, here's your mission. Here's your goal. You've been with me. You've walked with me for 3 years talking to his disciples. And talk about a mountaintop experience, walking with the Lord for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
But it culminates in saying, hey, you got to go back down off this mountain, and you got to go into the world and make disciples. You got to go into the nations, preach the gospel, baptizing people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We see it also at his ascension.
Mm-hmm.
There on the Mount of Olives, Jesus ascends, and his followers are standing there according to Acts, looking up into the air, and two angels appear and say, what are you looking at? This same Jesus that went up is going to return, and right then we get Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you will be my witnesses
mm-hmm.
in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And so that whole concept and idea is, hey, we get along with the Lord, and I think anytime you open up your Bible, you can have a mountaintop experience. I mean,
Amen.
if we're defining a mountaintop experience as sensing the presence of the Lord and his nearness and his proximity, anytime you open up God's Word, he's speaking to you. It's
mm-hmm.
there. And so, you know, figuratively speaking, anytime we spend time alone with the Lord's a mountaintop moment, but when we close that Bible, it's time to live on mission. And so we come
Amen.
Off the mountain, and we go into our world where everyday people live, and we share the hope and the transformation that happened on the mountaintop.
Amen. Even the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter says,
yep.
you know, let's build some shelters.
He wanted to stay there, right?
Yeah, let's stay here. And that was not the plan.
Absolutely. You know, that here he is, and I love that. I cover, you know, that experience that happened at what I believe is Mount Hermon. And what's incredible is you have Moses and Elijah there, which
mm-hmm.
two men that were on a mountaintop with the Lord
right.
previously in Scripture.
Yes.
Elijah at Mount Carmel, and then, of course, Moses at Mount Sinai. And what I love about that moment at the Transfiguration, Jim, is the Scripture says that after Jesus was transfigured, who he was on the inside was made manifest on the outside
mm-hmm.
for the very first time. Peter
mm-hmm.
wants to build a tent there and stay there and camp out. He's loving this mountaintop moment. But what I love is when that passage comes to a close, when the disciples open their eyes, they see that it was only Jesus that was left. And that's
Amen.
How the Scripture says
it.
Only Jesus was there. And it's just a great picture that it's all about Jesus. He's greater than Elijah. He's greater than Moses. He is the Son of God.
Amen.
And that's really what we unpack in that chapter on Mount Hermon.
Amen. And then you got to go down the mountain with him.
Yep. That's right.
Now, in your own ministry as a pastor, you deal with people who are going through all kinds of difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
And in the midst of that, the messages in this book really speak to people who are in a host of different experiences, a host of different places on their journey. the desire to know God more that the Apostle Paul expresses in his letter to the Philippians. It's not as if once we get saved, journey's over. You know,
that's right.
You know, now I've been born again, and so that's all there is. It is an ongoing thing. The tenses of salvation: I have been saved, I'm being saved, and I will be saved.
Right.
As unpack that a little, if you would, for us, as far as how the different mountains represent different aspects, not only of our experience with God, but our journey.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a progressive revelation, right? Like when we enter into a relationship with Christ, God doesn't reveal himself. When I trusted Jesus as an 11-year-old boy, God didn't reveal himself to me, everything about himself in that moment. I couldn't have handled it, wouldn't have understood it, wouldn't have had a category for it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's this progressive revelation where as I journey with God and I walk with God, he reveals more and more of himself to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why those who have followed Christ for a long, long time, you talk to them and there's such a depth to their love of God,
mm-hmm.
Because they've been walking with him for so long. He has revealed more and more of his character and his nature to them. Well, that's exactly what we see throughout the scriptures. And we see God revealing more and more of himself to these men, whether it was people like Abraham or Elijah or Moses in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, the disciples. And so it's like a marriage. I was teaching on this very recently, and I said, you know, if you knew everything about your spouse on the day that you got married, you wouldn't have said, I do. And if they knew everything about you, they wouldn't have said, I do. But no, you've grown together. You've walked together. And as your journey together as a married couple has progressed, you've learned more about each other, you know more about each other, and therefore your depth of love has grown. And I think the same is true in our relationship with the Lord. And so these mountaintop experiences, you know, God gives us these moments that I think are what I would call benchmark moments in our life, anchor-type moments where we meet with him, where the presence of God is palatable, his nearness is unlike ever before. It's not like that all the time. Sometimes mm-hmm. you go through the dark night of the soul. But you have these benchmark, high mark moments, these mountaintop experiences that you can always look back on and go, okay, I know God is with me. I know he's here, and it keeps you going in your relationship with him.
Amen. Amen. As you got saved at a young age, you were born again mm-hmm. when you were 11, and you look back, what have been for you some of the mountaintop experiences looking back across the years?
Yeah, well, it's a great question. And I would say, and in my acknowledgments of the book, I acknowledged that first time that, you know, I placed my faith in Christ as an 11-year-old. That was my first of what I would say are many mountaintop moments for me, and one that I'll forever treasure. I would say another one for me, Jim, was when I was 17, when God, I sense, calling me into vocational ministry.
Mm-hmm.
I'd always wanted to play college football and coach high school football. That was kind of a dream of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always loved church and went to my student pastor and said, hey, I want to be more involved and want to be a leader in this capacity. And he asked me to teach a Bible study. And it was in studying the Bible to teach it to others that God just did a real work in my heart and showed me this is what I want to do the rest of my life. And that was a mountaintop moment for me when I sensed God calling me into vocational ministry.
Mm-hmm.
I open up in the book and share about an experience growing up where it was a tough experience for me. It was a breaking moment for me, and that was I was sexually abused between the ages of 8 and 12. And I never said anything, Jim, never told anybody because of the shame that comes with that and the fear of what will people think. And so I carried this secret around until I was 19.
Mm-hmm.
And at 19, I decided to come forward and share this dark secret that I'd never shared with anyone else. And I talk about this in the chapter that has to do with Mount Carmel, because Elijah, before he ever went up to the mountain to call down fire from the heavens, before he ever went up the mountain to battle the false gods of Israel, he had to go through a place called Cherith and a place called Zarephath. Mm-hmm. And when you study the scriptures, and I talk about this in the book, Cherith means to be cut down. Mm-hmm. Zarephath is a word in the Hebrew that means to melt or to smelt. And if we're talking about God using us on these mountaintop moments, oftentimes we have to go to Cherith and Zarephath before we can go to Carmel. And so this time of walking through the healing of what went on as a child and coming forward and sharing my this deep, dark secret and finding freedom in sharing it with others, as I look back on it, we don't think of tough times as mountaintop moments. But if we're talking about the mountaintop being where we sense the nearness of God, I guarantee you 9 out of 10 listeners that are listening to us in this interview today, if we said, when were you closest to the Lord? Mm-hmm. 9 out of 10 were times when they were broken. Mm-hmm. And when you're going through those times, it doesn't feel like a mountain.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, when you look back on them and you sense the presence of God, most of us would say, you know what, I wouldn't trade that time for anything because, God, you were so close.
Amen.
And so even in dark moments, even in what seems like deserts at the time, as we look back, they can even be mountaintop moments because God is so close, preparing us for something great. So, you know, that would be another mountaintop mm-hmm. moment where God just came through and I found freedom in Christ.
Praise God.
And so I talk about a number of those in the book.
Well, Jared, I appreciate that so much because we deal with so many children who have been sexually abused. Yeah. And it is just... It is a tragically widespread problem, and so many folks are where you were prior to sharing that, still carrying the guilt of what somebody else did. Right. You know, what your coach did. I loved your saying, you wished if somebody else would come forward, then you would. And
yeah.
And you'd like to see him locked up and the key thrown away, but it came to a point where you realized, no, I need to be the one to step forward. I'm going to have to do this, and that courage that God gave you, you were already a believer, you already knew the Lord, but through that time, you carried tremendous guilt and shame, not because of what you had done, but because of what was done to you. And we work with kids in that situation, boys and girls, who have been traumatized by this. Sometimes we know it before they come here to our school. Sometimes we find out from them after they've been here a while and they finally feel like they can share. I was speaking at a men's conference in Georgia one year, and a young man came up to me at the break, and he said, "Can I talk with you?" And he went on to share something. He said, "I've never shared this with anyone before in my life. My parents don't know. I never told my pastor, never told anybody." And he proceeded to tell me a tragic story of his trauma that he had been through. But as you point out, God meets us there. God
Absolutely.
Meets us, and he gives us the strength we need. And if you're listening today, and that's an area where you have been just try not to think about it. Just try to block it out, and yet it keeps coming back. And you know you need to talk with somebody, and the person who did that to you needs to be stopped.
Yeah.
Please know that there are folks who will be glad to come alongside you, to pray with you, to encourage you, to help you. And know that God himself cares for you, despite what has happened. It is not your fault if someone molested you. Please know that there is help available, and we'd be glad for you to contact us and let us route you to resources. But please know, here's an example. This brother I'm talking with right now, Jarrett, is being greatly used by God, not because of what happened to him, but because of how he responded to that, trusting the Lord, telling the truth. And I just want to encourage you folks, if you're struggling with this, tell the truth and get folks alongside you to encourage you and strengthen you in your walk with God. You'll meet the Lord there in a fresh way.
Yeah, you really will. And let me just say that, Jim, there's something powerful when you get what is dark in your life and you bring it into the light.
Mm-hmm.
That light exposes it. And I can say, there was probably not a day that went by, and I say this often when I share my testimony in different mm-hmm. places, there was not a day that went by from the ages of 8 to 12 that I didn't think about what had happened to me,
mm-hmm.
that I didn't, it wasn't on my mind.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you this, when I told this secret for the very first time and I confessed it to someone, that night, I'm telling you, Jim, I had the best night's sleep I'd ever had in my entire life.
Praise God.
I had such a restful night that, you know, Jesus said it like this in Matthew 11:28, come to me all you are tired mm-hmm. and have heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest.
Amen.
And I hardly ever think about it now. You know,
yep.
after thinking about it every single day up to that point, it was when I told somebody
yep.
and confessed it that I don't hardly think about it at all anymore.
Praise God. Praise God. Well, Jared, I sure am glad you shared it in the book, because there are tens of thousands of people who desperately need to know that it's not just okay to tell the truth, it's important to tell
right.
the truth. And as you share in your story, and as you shared with our listeners today, God will meet you there. So thank you very much, brother, for your honesty and candor in sharing that. The clarity that Sheila Walsh writes about in her endorsement of your book, the clarity with which you write and just share truthfully. It's a beautiful thing to see the Lord's work shown in that way.
Well, thanks for saying that. You know, I think it was Tozer, our favorite author, that said, mm-hmm. you know, God is yet to use a man greatly who hasn't been hurt deeply.
Amen.
And again, you know, you look at Elijah's life before he ever called fire down. He had to be, he was cut down. He was broken.
Yes,
he was
yes.
melted. And I just say, hey, when you have been broken and cut down, and you're on your way up the mountain, just watch out, because God's getting ready to come down and, to use your words, meet you.
Amen. Amen. Well, folks, I recommend this book to you. It is The Mountains Are Calling, by Jarrett Stevens. The foreword is by Dr. Jack Graham, and he's got more endorsements here than I can even reference. But I can tell you this, you will find this book a great encouragement. It is clearly written, it is saturated with the scriptures, and it is aimed at helping you know God better. So again, I thank you. And Jarrett, may the Lord bless you as you continue your ministry there at Prestonwood with Jack. I pray that God will richly bless you and use you, bless your family, and that those who are sitting under your teaching are going to continue to see Jesus. God bless you.
Jim, thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Hi, this is Pastor Jim Wood of Abiding in Christ. Living in the mountains of East Tennessee, I'm surrounded by phenomenal beauty in every season of the year. My wife and I live on a mountainside that adjoins the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, the most popular, most visited of all the national parks in the USA. Our neighbors include bears and bobcats, foxes and raccoons, even possums and skunks. Just down the hill from our house is the beautiful campus of Ware's Valley Ranch, a miraculous place where God is busy changing lives from the inside out. On this program, you'll hear interviews, monologues, but mostly you'll hear the expository preaching that I do here at the ranch. Because I'm often speaking to a room full of children, you may occasionally hear background noises or illustrations and vocabulary chosen for a child's frame of reference. But the one thing I pray you will hear every time is God's Word, the eternal, inerrant Word which points us to Jesus. I'm delighted to partner with this station in bringing these messages to you, and I'd like to get to know you better as you get to know us. Please visit us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Click on the link that says Contact Us and let us hear from you. We'd love to know the station where you listen. And feel free to share any prayer requests as well. We actually do pray for the specific requests that folks send us, and we love hearing how God answers those prayers. Again, the website is pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.